If you brought your Bible, I want to go this morning to, we'll start over in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. when you turn there, we'll eventually get to that verse. But one of the things we're endeavoring to do here at the beginning of the foundation of the church here is, establish the congregation in some of the fundamental foundational truths, you might say, in the Word of God that this congregation will be built upon. And is being built upon. One of my roles here is foundation layer. And so we want to go over another subject that this congregation will, might want to say highlight. We will emphasize as the way we do things. And so that is going to be today found here in the fifth chapter of Romans, the fifth verse. And the Amplified, well, let me just read the King James. But Romans 5:5, it says, "Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us." The love of God, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes.
We have this nature, you might say, the nature of divine love because of the new birth. Remember in 1 John chapter 5, it talks about we know we've passed from death, talking about spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
None of us have been dead. Well, maybe there's somebody in here who was dead physically and rose from the dead, but most of us weren't dead physically. He's talking about spiritual death. We've passed from death, spiritual death, unto life, notice, because we love the brethren. In other words, when we received eternal life, we received a new nature.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, I don't mean our flesh received a new nature. How many of you know, since we've gotten born again, we can still, our flesh wasn't what changed. It was the inward nature that changed. And our flesh is very capable of continuing to act the same way we were before we got saved. Mean, ugly, and we won't talk about you, you won't talk about me, right? But 1 John there, what is that, 5, 18 or 16, 17, somewhere in there, it talks about we know we've passed from death unto life.
Yes.
Why? Because we love. We love. In other words, we got this new nature. I mean, have you know God is love? The Bible talks about different things God does and he has, but it very seldom talks about who he, well, it talks about who he is, but it very seldom says he is something.
Right.
But he is love.
That's right.
That's God's nature. And this verse in Romans 5:5 says, now this is our nature, not the nature of our flesh. Our flesh is still selfish like it always was, right? But we got born again.
Yes.
I did. Did anybody in here get born again? And that new nature of that new man in Christ is the nature of God.
That's right.
We know we've passed from death unto life because we love. We love. When we received eternal life, that brought the love of God into us.
Yes.
And he said here, he said it in a different way, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts, or is shed abroad, the Amplified says, poured out.
Yes.
In our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. In other words, this is one of the first things that shows up in the new birth.
That's right.
Remember, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth.
Yes.
Love is the first one it mentions. That's the first one that shows up.
Yes.
I remember whenever I grew up, I had two older brothers, one older sister, and one younger sister. I was the next to the youngest. And my older brothers, they seemed to think it was their assignment from heaven to pick on me. I educated them later and say that was not your assignment from heaven. But anyway, they just irritated the fire out of me. And I just got to the place, I just almost hated them. I wasn't saved. But I would throw rocks at them. I remember one time throwing a rock, and we got children here, don't do this. But I remember throwing a rock, it's about that big, hit my brother right on the head. Blood started flowing and I started running. I'm like, I'm in trouble now. My mama's gonna whoop me real good. But I hated my brothers. And but then I got saved. I never forget it, the time I got saved, born again. And the next morning, my brothers were the most wonderful people in the world. See, that love was shed abroad in my heart.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I loved my brothers. That's a miracle right there. You don't know my brothers. So, you but anyway, that's what happened to all of us when we got born again. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we're not to govern our lives, especially when it comes to human relationships. We're not to govern our lives really by any human love, but we're to govern our lives by a higher kind of love. We live, believers live by a higher kind of love. It's not just human here. This is a divine love. It's shed abroad in our hearts. And so this in any hardship in life, any relationship issues that arise, any interactions with people who sometimes maybe don't do you right. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know. I don't know why everybody's picking on me. Seems like so many things are done me wrong. Well, I usually say to them, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
Welcome to the human race. I mean, having things done wrong to you or spoken, you know, against you that weren't true, or somebody put you in a wrong light, or, you know, just didn't do you right financially or something like that. Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come.
Yeah. Yes.
He didn't say it's impossible from taking hold of them when they come.
Right.
And holding a grudge.
Yes, that's right.
Because the divine love of God in us enables us to rise above that.
Yeah.
But it is, you can't go through life without somebody doing you wrong.
Seriously.
Amen. Yeah. That's just going to happen. I don't know why you're so quiet about it, but it's going to happen.
It's true.
I mean, we've all been done wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's not what's done to you. It's how you respond to that. And we've been furnished with the kind of love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
God, remember that. That's in Romans. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners.
Yes.
Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have good feelings for somebody that's done you wrong. But see, this divine kind of love is not a feeling.
It's
a choice.
It's a choice.
For God so loved the world that he gave. It didn't say God so loved the world that he had a wonderful feeling toward it. He didn't feel good towards us. We'd done him wrong. We sinned against him. Right?
Yes, sir.
But he didn't respond to us the way we were responding to him. And the divine kind of love in us will treat others differently than they treat us.
Absolutely.
Because the way they treat us is not our standard.
All right now. Come on.
Go to John's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Look at the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter.
Yes, sir.
While you're turning there, I started saying, and I'll say it, I'll finish the statement. Even before any hardships in life come, whether it be in relationships or something, God has already furnished us with the kind of love that never fails.
Right.
You ever read the Bible says love never fails. Now the question is, what are you and I going to do with this divine love? Because it's in there, but just it being in there doesn't mean we're letting it dominate us. We can all let the flesh dominate us, and that fleshly nature will, if it's dominating us, will make us act just the way we used to act. But see, we got another choice now. This love is in our hearts. Now look at John 13. Look at verse 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.
Yes.
Now notice that. This is the new commandment. Now, we'll get to here in a few minutes maybe, Romans chapter number 13, that says if we walk in love, we fulfill all the Old Testament law. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the New Testament commandment.
Yes.
Somebody said, we need to keep the Ten Commandments today. Well, I don't necessarily have to keep the Ten Commandments today if I walk in the divine kind of love. Because the Ten Commandments will all be fulfilled.
Right.
We'll see that in Romans the 13th chapter.
Yes, sir.
But notice here, now I want you to see something, and Jesus gave us this new commandment of the New Testament. He said, this is a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as others have loved you, that you also love them.
No, that's not what that says.
Huh? Somebody say, did I preach that wrong?
That's not what it says.
This isn't, did I read out of the Reverse Standard Version?
Yes.
Come on.
No. He didn't say, love others as they love you.
No.
Remember the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus in the, I think it's the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he said, love them that hate you, bless them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you, pray for them, so forth. So here's our responsibility. Love, bless, do good, and pray for people. And these people are hating us, doing us wrong. Let me just say this. Between now and the end of the age where Jesus comes back, people are going to hate Christians more and more.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it?
Love them.
Get all irritated and offended and get mad and get high blood pressure and get on all kinds of medications because you're not walking in love and you're angry and irritated and railing on them and talking about them and criticizing and talking about the government, talking about, well, you're getting out of the God kind of love.
Yeah.
Your role is to love, bless, do good, and pray.
And yeah. Pray. That's right. All of those.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're treating me wrong. Well, that's what, how many of you know we treated? Here he said, love others. Jesus said, love them, love one another as I have loved you.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
He's our standard.
He's our standard.
Yes. He's our standard.
Yes.
Whew. I don't know. We might all get convicted today, including myself. So notice that he's our standard.
Yes.
Now, this love is shed abroad in our hearts, but I go to Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're kind of jumping in the middle of the teaching here at the end of the fourth chapter. We don't have time to go back to the beginning of this, you know, discourse on walking in love. It starts around the fourth chapter of Ephesians here, I mean. It starts around, what is that, verse 28, somewhere in there, and it comes on down through. And then I want you to notice, in fact, let me just turn to this. I was going to just quote something here, but let me turn to this. Ephesians chapter number, what is that? Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's start back in verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, he mentions in a moment what that is. We might think that's four-letter words, and certainly that's involved. But notice, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, look at this, evil speaking. You ought to look up the word evil speaking. I'll just do it for you. Evil speaking means speech that vilifies or speaks railings or slander or injurious speech about others.
Come on.
In other words, it's putting people in a bad light to someone else.
Yeah.
It's like, Chris, did you hear what so-and-so did? Huh? That's evil speaking. Well, that we'll get into that more as we go. But he mentions there, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 29, that's defined down in verse number 30, verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Malice means ill will. And of any kind, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There it is again. See, forgiveness is walking in love. We know that from reading, keep on reading. How many of you know Paul didn't write his letter to Ephesians in scripture and verse any more than you write a letter in scripture and verse? But here he keeps on going in chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers, the Greek says imitators of God, imitators of God.
Yes.
As dear children. And what's he mainly talking about? Verse 2, and walk in love.
Yes.
And walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. And given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, sweet smelling savor. Now, I want you to see that term, walk in love. Romans says it's shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes, come on.
Isn't that's what happened to the new birth, by the Holy Spirit coming in, and that he recreated our born again human spirit.
Yes.
We have the new nature of love in there.
Right.
And now, what are we going to do with it? Right? See, love is a fruit of the Spirit. You ever seen fruit grow on a tree? I have five apple trees on some land we have. And I was looking at them after the flower stage, and I was watching which flowers got pollinated, you know, it has to get pollinated. And so I've got more apples this year than ever, and because the trees are maturing, you know, and stuff. And it was a good season for pollination. But anyway, I got apples. And those little apples, they're there, but they're just like you know, some of them are no bigger than that thumb, you know, they're round, but no bigger than that finger right there. I mean, the nail right there. And see, that's fruit, but it's not, I can't pick that and eat that.
Right.
I mean, I could, but it's all bitter. It's not very big. I'm not much of a meal, right? There's not much to it. Well, that's the way the love of God is.
Yes.
It's put in there through the new birth.
Yes.
But boy, looking at some Christians' lives, they haven't developed much of that yet.
Yes.
The thing about fruit is it grows.
Yes.
And let me tell you something about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not to be a seasonal fruit.
Hey. Well, come on now.
You know, just... Yeah. If I'm not irritated today, then I'll walk in love with you.
Yes.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to look at this subject, if you would like to today. I'm going to look at it and go through this. I've noticed as I've had the opportunity in the years that have passed to get around some more seasoned ministers, mature ministers, and I noticed something about them is they emphasize this more than some young of us do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as they've grown, they know the importance of this.
Yes.
And we're going to look at the importance of this ourselves today.
Amen.
Are you glad about that?
Yes.
Now, so Ephesians talks about not just to shed abroad, but to actually walk in love. Did you see that in the verse number 2? Is that verse number 1? Walk in love. Walk in love. So it's in our spirits. Now we're to walk in it. In other words, we're to do something with it. And John 13 says it's something we're to live according to the way he treated us or God treated us. Amen? And it's a commandment. Amen. He didn't say a new suggestion. I give unto you that you walk in love. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. And so what's the standard when it comes to walking in the divine kind of love? Not the way the other fella has loved you.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Amen. The way they treat us is not our standard. Our standard is the way God treated us. Hallelujah. Now, you and I can't love as God loved us unless he has furnished us with this kind of love. Before a man's born again, he's going to reach his limit. You know, you ever heard this statement? I've had it up to here.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, the next time I'm going to explode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In other words, they reach their limit.
Yeah. That's right.
God's love never fails.
Yes.
It just keeps on forgiving, keeps on forgiving, keeps on going.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
No believer that says, now notice in Ephesians here, he says in the end of the fourth chapter, the last verse, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Say it out loud, forgiving one another.
Forgiving.
Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Christ, and be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. So part of walking in love is forgiving others.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Amen. I said part of walking in love is forgiving others.
Yes.
Well, you wouldn't have anything to forgive if nobody's ever done you wrong.
That's right.
We all have had wrongs done to us. We don't even need to ask for 100% testimony. We all know that. Everybody's in here has been done wrong. You can't go through life without being done wrong. But you can go through life without gathering up offenses and carrying them around with you. You know, some people, they collect... you know, pottery, some people, you know, dolls, some people different things, and then other people collect offenses.
Ooh.
They gather them up in their life,
And
they're just full of offense, and then they wonder why sickness is so easily gets on them.
Yeah.
Are you still out there? And so, but notice forgiveness is part of this. Now don't raise your hand or think of anybody in your mind, but have you ever heard anybody say, I just can't forgive that person? Well, if you hear that, you might could say to them then, well, then you can get saved here. I can lead you into salvation if you can't forgive them.
Yeah.
But many of them say, no, I'm saved, I'm saved. Yeah. Well, you say, well, if you're saved, you can.
You can. Right. You have the
ability. If you're saved, you can.
Yes. You sure can.
Amen. Because God furnished that love and put it inside of you.
Yes.
Now, maybe it's not dominating you, and maybe your feelings are dominating you, and maybe you're talking out of your feelings.
Come on.
But you can change that.
You can change that.
Amen.
Amen.
And maybe the first thing to do to change it is stop saying, I just can't, and be honest about it and say, I just won't.
There it is.
Right. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Amen. well, some amens and a few grunts. Because if the love of God shed abroad in us, we can.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, we can.
We can.
Now let's look at Romans 13. We said we're going to go there, 13 verses 8 through 10. There's so much in the Bible about the love of God, not just God's love towards us. We thank God for his love towards us, but the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts and how we're to treat one another. This has got to be something that we emphasize in life.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is so our faith will work,
right,
which we'll get to, I think, if we can get time here. But Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. To love one another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, this is one debt you'll never get paid.
Right.
What am I talking about? The debt of love. I owe you to walk in love with you. You owe me a debt. You'll never get that debt. You'll never get to the place where God said, okay, you've paid up. You don't have to walk in love towards them anymore. No, it's a debt you'll never get paid.
That's good. Right. That's good.
Yep.
All other debts, I'm talking about financial debts, you got a covenant, you can pay those off.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's one that God will never say, okay, you're paid off. Now you can just get them. I mean, just get them.
No.
Amen. In other words, you'll always owe the divine kind of love.
Yes. Yes.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Remember we said that earlier, and this is verses we were talking about. Has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. How many of you know he's talking about the Old Testament commandments here? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
As thyself.
Yeah.
Whew. Anybody in here love yourself?
Right.
Somebody said, no. I don't love myself. Well, then I'm going to have to stay away from you because I'm in danger. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love me because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love you, I'm in trouble.
We're in trouble. That's right.
You ought to love yourself.
That's right. Absolutely.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's keep on reading. Do you see that? Now, here's something that's very, very important. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Whew. In other words, if I walk in love, I don't have to get out the Ten Commandments every morning and say, I got to make sure I don't steal from anybody today. Make sure I don't do this today or you know, he goes through all those Ten Commandments there. Make sure I don't commit adultery. Make sure I don't kill. Make sure I don't steal. You know, if I love you, I'm not going to kill you. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you.
That's true.
This is a higher commandment.
Yes.
It fulfills all the Old Testament law. Now, I don't mean that it's in governments that govern people who are not born again, the right. Ten Commandments have a place.
Right. Yeah.
Our laws ought to be based on, and mostly are, the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Right. Right? And that's right for a society that's not going to walk in the divine kind of love. But you can read very carefully in different places in the Bible that that's not for you and me. Amen. I don't have to make sure and you know keep myself from killing people. I just walk in love.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
I just walk in love.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
A little bit of hesitation on some of you's part, but that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Now let's look at that statement again. Love works no ill to his neighbor. I said love works no ill to his neighbor. We're going to come back to that. Because there's more ways to work ill towards a neighbor than just, you know. You know, running over his tree in his backyard with your lawnmower or something like that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know why you're so quiet today. It's a little different in here. But anyway, the most outstanding feature of a spiritual Christian's life is his love walk.
Yes.
Amen. Now, you remember 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to go there right now, but it starts out, it doesn't matter. He basically says, if I prophesy, if I speak with tongues, I have faith to move mountains and so forth, and don't have love. King James says charity, but that's really, charity is like giving to the poor in our vernacular. That's not really what the Greek word says. It's agape, love.
Yes.
And with love, we'll give to the poor. Don't misunderstand me. But see, he said, if I do all of that, speak in tongues, prophesy, have faith to move mountains, and yet I don't have love. In other words, I'm not walking in the God kind of love. I'm just a noisy brass and a sounding cymbal, and all that I do, giving to the poor, so forth, it's not for any other. It's not going to get, not going to return to me any blessings.
Yeah. Right.
You know, people can give things for different motives.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In the world, it's big about if I give, you'll put my name on your building, right?
Yeah.
But what motive is that? That's your reward. You got your name on a building. That's all the reward you're going. Nothing from God. Just the reward of your name being on the building. That's all you're going to get. Amen.
Amen. You're preaching good.
Hallelujah. I am. Tell them I'm preaching good. No, these things are something we haven't thought about maybe sometimes. These are the real issues of life here. These are the real issues of life. Now, notice here, this is one of the most outstanding features of a spiritual Christian's life. Not that they can prophesy. Not that they speak with tongues. Amen. How can, you know, all of that, somebody that speaks with tongues, prophesies, and then they carry around an old unforgiving spirit?
Seriously.
That's not becoming. That doesn't draw people to Jesus.
Right.
It sure doesn't.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, love's a universal language.
Yes, it is.
People might not even be able to understand. Let's say they speak another language, French or some other language. They don't even know your English, what you're saying. But if you love them, they know that. They can go, oh, that.
Yes.
There's God right there.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So this is important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. So this is a real mark of spirituality. Well, I flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful. The Bible says to do that. But can you walk in love?
Yes.
That's the real measure of a man's spirituality. Hallelujah. Now, Jude 1:20 and 21, you're familiar. Be ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God.
Yes.
That's you and my job. God's not going to keep you and I in the love of God.
No.
He put it in there.
Yes.
And the Bible says the love of Christ over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number, 14, I believe. It says the love of Christ constraineth us.
Yes.
So the love is in there, and it'll pull back the reins on your tongue sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever gotten ready to say something, and the Holy Ghost in you says, whoa, horsey.
Yes. Yes.
You're just such a blessing. You're just... Because in there, the Holy Ghost constrains you. Don't say that. Don't say that. Whoa, horsey. It's like reins, you know, on you. And so, but God won't make you walk in love.
Right.
He shed it abroad in your heart. He'll, like he said, constrain you. He'll convict you to, no, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Do you know, see, we're talking about walking in love, but do you know that the area that you and I will get out of love the quickest will be with our tongue?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says the tongue is the most unruly member.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the tongue this morning. Praise the Lord. Just shout amen. We won't know that we won't all know that we're all being convicted this morning.
Hallelujah.
So it's our job. And in other words, there is this love territory. That if we stay on that love territory, that's not walking in darkness, that's walking in the light.
Yes,
in fact, go over to 1 John chapter number 2. I got so much I want to share with you.
Come on.
1 John 2 says this. 1 John chapter number 2. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2. This might be a little strong sometimes to think about and examine our lives in the light of this. But I'll tell you, if we're sitting here just getting challenged this morning, don't don't let the conviction keep you from knowing that this is good for you.
Yes.
It's good for all of us. In other words, basically, we might not shout right now, but if we walk in love, we'll be shouting later.
That's right.
Because of the results of it.
Yes.
Look here in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. That's that he's walking in darkness. Verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So think about that. To walk in darkness, or let's put it this way, to not walk in love, in other words, to hold a grudge, to be in unforgiveness, to hold an offense, to talk evil of others. And we'll get into some of these things, what it means to walk in love. All those things. To do all that's to walk in darkness. And let me say this. Darkness is Satan's territory. I said darkness is Satan's territory. In other words, to not walk in love is to get on the devil's territory. And the devil's territory, there he has a right to attack us. Somebody said, I have authority over him. Well, you ever read the Bible?
All right, come on now.
You can't walk in darkness and exercise authority. You have to walk in the light and exercise authority.
Yes.
Like the Bible didn't say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Somebody said, yes, it does. I got scripture and verse. You know, you got half of a scripture and half of a verse. First of all, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Part of submitting yourself to God is, amongst other things, walking in love. Walk in the light. Walk in love. And walking in the light is walking in love.
Yes. Amen.
I said walking in the light is walking in love. Now, love's divine resume is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And you ought to read it in the Amplified. I'm telling you, the Amplified, it just brings it home. But let's look at that briefly, because we're going to go by it and come back to it later. But love, this is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Amplified Classic. Love endures long and is patient and at the same time kind. Hallelujah.
Come on.
You see, when you're enduring and putting up with something for a long time and being patient, you don't remind them every day, I'm being patient with you. That's not being kind.
Uh-uh.
See, it's patient and kind all at the same time.
Yes.
Praise God. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. Boy, that's a big one right there. You know, people have set out to destroy other people's blessings because they're not seeing those blessings themselves, and it destroys their life. That's what he's talking about, and there's so much we could talk about there. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Love is a very humble thing. If somebody's walking in something, people that really love God and walk in love with others, they'll say, God's doing this. I'm not the one accomplishing this. Amen. Look at this, and then next verse. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude. You know, I've watched some baby Christians. They just got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're on fire for God, and we thank God for that.
Yeah.
But they read about boldness in the New Testament, and they think some of the things they do in the name of being bold is God. But actually, it's rude. Amen. There's a difference between boldness and rudeness. Amen. Well, there's a whole sermon right there. But is not rude, is not unmannerly. This is the Amplified Classic. Unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. And I'll be honest with you, I think that means a couple things. But real Christian love makes Jesus becoming to people.
Yes.
Makes him appealing to people. Amen. Love, God's love in us, not just the love of God up there in the ether world somewhere, but in us. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it's not self-seeking.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We could basically say it's not selfish.
Right.
Well, I got my rights. Yeah, of course you do. And I'm going to have them. Okay, go ahead. Fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to sue my brother. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to... Remember Jesus told a parable about that in Matthew chapter 18?
Yes.
That.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you're preaching good.
Well, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, here's one. Well, they're talking about me and criticizing me. You know, I need to set them straight. Well, why don't you trust God to protect you?
Yes.
You remember the Bible?
Yeah.
It's a real good book. You ought to read it. Isaiah says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And look at what the weapon is. No tongue that rises against you in judgment.
Right.
Or every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. In other words, God's saying, I'll take up this case.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to fight here in this. I'll take up your case.
Amen.
Jesus was crucified because of a false judgment in court.
That's right.
Yeah.
And 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 23, we know verse 24 talks about healing. But verse 23 talks about when he reviled not again, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He appealed his case. He got a bad sentence in the court of man, and he appealed his case to the court of heaven.
A higher authority, yes.
And within 40 days...
Yes.
He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rose from the dead, and he will stand before.
Amen.
Those men that put him on trial and falsely accused him will stand before him to get their sentence.
Yes. Amen.
And God will do the same thing for you. Trust him.
That's right.
Well, I got to fight for my rights. You can fight your way right into sickness and right into premature death if you're not careful.
Look out there now.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on that, but it's all good. Does not insist on its own rights.
Come on.
Or its own way. Is not self-seeking.
Come on.
It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Now I should back up and say this.
Yeah.
You can go to court and not do it for just and number one, not do it against a brother.
Right.
Bible says don't go to court against your brother. Well, we're preaching things people haven't thought much about some today. But number two, you can go to court with an unbeliever, scriptural.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But not to get everything they have. I'm going to take them for everything they have. No, just to protect yourself.
Yes.
No, you're not trying to destroy his life. People go to court with I'm going to take everything they have, kind of an attitude. I'm going to get them for everything they have. And that's unforgiveness. If you're not careful, you'll be the one that loses. Well, praise the Lord. Keep on smiling. It's all in the Bible. Praise God. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account, of an evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
Oh, my.
Whew. Right there is the highest measure of love walk I have ever seen in the Bible.
Seriously? Yeah. Yep.
Husbands and wives, sometimes you did this, you did that, you did this, and remember when you did that, you did that. See, what are you doing? You're taking account.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you're not walking in love.
Wow.
You remember the Bible talks about where to forgive as he forgave us? Do you know how he forgave us? He forgave it, and he forgot it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That's the way we forgive.
Yep. Yeah.
They don't owe us anything anymore. That's what forgiveness is. It's a canceling of a debt. They owe us nothing.
Yeah.
They don't even owe us an apology.
Thank you.
In our mind, now maybe with them, to help them get their conscience clear, they should come get cleared up. But as far as I'm concerned, you don't even owe me an apology. I've had people come to me and said, I'm so sorry for the way I spoke about you or criticized you or something, whatever. And I said, I didn't even pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I don't have anything to get off my chest.
Come on.
Because I never let it in.
Amen.
Right.
Paid no attention.
Yes.
To a suffered wrong.
So
yes.
Good.
Glory to God.
Woo. So good.
Glory to God.
Could I be honest with you? That's the highest measure right there.
Yeah.
It's not even paying attention. Anyway, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness.
Yep.
In other words, when somebody gets what's coming to them, they keep doing wrong, then they get what's coming to them. We don't have a party.
No,
we say, oh God, be merciful to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Rejoices when right and truth prevails. Hallelujah. How many of you know lies shouldn't be prevailing? Truth ought to be prevailing.
Truth.
And love wants that. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes.
Glory to God.
That's that statement. I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Love can.
Yep.
Divine love can.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It doesn't rejoice. And it rejoices. Love bears up anything and anything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person.
Ever ready
to believe the best. Ever ready to believe the best. Not believe the worst.
Ever ready.
All right, what did they mean by that?
See?
Love will believe the best. Yeah. Well, they probably didn't even realize they said that. They probably didn't even realize that was me they were implying.
Thank you.
Yes.
You ever had somebody say something that, boy, were they implying me? I mean.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Love believes the best.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what if it turns out that they actually did mean me? Well, that's not your first inclination to believe that they actually were talking
that's
about
right.
you.
Yeah,
it's ever ready to believe the best. If you find out after much evidence that they actually did, then you take no account of a suffered wrong.
Yeah.
Can you see how below the love walk we actually walk sometimes?
Oh, my. Oh, my, my.
Well, praise the Lord. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Whew, glory be to God. Here's something that'll never fail.
Yes.
Never, Amplified says, never fades out or becomes obsolete and or comes to an end. Never fades out or becomes obsolete. You know, I don't know, maybe a few years, this tie won't be in style anymore. Certainly looking at Dane's, his won't be in style. I mean, it's just... I'm just having fun. We got to keep this light because some of us are getting... Whoa. I don't know if you've heard, but, you know, that spirit of faith, whom the Lord loveth, the pastor picketh on. Have you ever read that verse? But you know, clothing goes out of style. Hair styles go out of style, whatever. Many things go out of style, cars and everything.
Yeah.
But here's something that never goes out of style. Love will never go out of style.
Praise.
Woo, glory be to God. Then let's keep on reading because 1 Corinthians 14:1, again, he's not writing in chapter and verse. Eagerly, this is the Amplified Classic. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Well, now, from the verses we've already read, he's not saying make it your great quest to get this kind of love in your heart. You don't have to ask God for love. Lord, give me love. He already has.
He shed it for you.
Amen. So he's not talking about that. The great quest is to walk in it.
To walk in it. That's right.
Because our flesh doesn't necessarily want to walk in this.
No. Yeah.
No.
I mean, the fleshly nature is you hit me, I'll hit you. You talk about me, I'll talk about you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm just loving this anyhow, even though it's convicting. Hallelujah. So the whole counsel of God's words, not make this your great quest, don't mean you have to pray to God to give it to you, but make walking in this your great quest. I'm reaching for perfection in the love walk.
Yes.
Am I perfect? No. I have a perfect heart, meaning that my heart is right.
Right.
Right? But I'm not necessarily always walking in this divine kind of love. I mean, you just read those verses, and I just maybe, rather than pray for you at the end of the service, have you pray for me. Just looking at those verses. Praise the Lord. Now, y'all still glad you came?
Yes, sir.
Can we just look at a couple of things in specifics here?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tongue. James 3:2 says, in many things, James chapter 3, verse 2, in many things we offend all. The other translations say, all of us have offended with what we say.
Well,
many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, in other words, I think it's the Amplified, but in other translations I remember, it says if he always says the right thing. In other words, if any man never says the wrong thing, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Let's say you're going out of town for vacation, you got three children, and you said, Pastor, would you babysit my children for 3 days? I say, sure.
Really?
And then you say, well, but you say to me, you say, well, Pastor, just a few things about the dynamics of the children,
yeah.
How things go amongst
yes.
them. Here's something you need to know.
Right.
Now, little Johnny, I hope nobody's got a little Johnny because I'm not implying you, but little Johnny here, he's the instigator. If everybody says it was that one, it wasn't. It was Johnny.
It was yes. Johnny.
Because he's the most unruly one. And if you can rule him, keep him in line,
yeah.
the rest of them will fall in line.
Okay.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, that's what he said about the tongue here.
Yeah.
If you can keep the tongue
that's so
and never say the wrong thing, then you can control your whole body.
Whole body.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness, I'm going to go there.
Go ahead.
I remember one time, and I'm not implying anybody. I don't know you. I don't know you. But I remember one time we were out to eat with some pastors, and they were, it was a good meeting, good serious meeting, good lovely people. But we were all eating, and they said, we got to go to this restaurant, and they got the best chocolate pie. My goodness, their chocolate pie. You got to have a piece of chocolate pie. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating chocolate pie. I've had plenty of chocolate pie. Amen. So don't hear this wrong. But I was in a season in my life, I was cutting some things out.
Yeah.
Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
It's not my business what you cut out or what you eat. It's not your business what I cut or how I eat. We'll just all walk before God and
yes.
be happy and rejoice together. Amen.
Amen.
If you want your pie, eat it. So, but she said, you just got to have a piece. I said, well, we'll see. And but I just got convicted. And at the end of the meal, I knew I just need to cut some things out. So I said, then the waitress came by and said, what do you want? And the pastor's wife said, oh, you got to have some other chocolate pie. I said, oh, I'm sure it's good, but I'm going to pass. And she said, you're going to pass? I said, yeah, I'm just going to pass. I'm not going to have any. No, thank you. Now, I wanted some. The flesh was screaming. Oh, you know, every sugar hunger molecule in my body was going. I said, I'm not going to have any. No, thank you. That's all I said. And she said, you're not going to have any. So she said, ordered her a piece. I said, fine, good, good. Eat it. Enjoy it. Praise God. No yeah. condemnation for me.
Yeah.
It's not my life.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
So the waitress walked away. And she said, you're not going to have any pie. I said, no, thank you. I just would rather not have any tonight. And I wasn't trying to put them down or right. make myself look better. You know, I'm not trying to be holier than thou or anything. I'm just saying no. So they said, I don't know how you can do that. She said, I just can't do that. I said, I know. She said, what do you mean you know? I said, I heard you.
Yeah.
She said, what do you mean you heard me? I said, you said you can't do that.
Oh, there it
yep.
is.
There it
there
is.
It is.
Yeah.
I heard you. You said you can't do that. And your mouth is what?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you can't control your mouth, you can't control your whole body.
Yeah.
That's right.
She said, but how do you do that? I just say it.
Just say it.
Yeah.
I just said, I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to have any. She said, I can't do it. I said, I know. I heard you. We laugh, but that's what this verse said.
That's exactly it.
That's not the only thing it's talking about.
Right.
But that is, that we can all understand that.
So
praise the Lord. But so anyway, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Amen. So how about, you know, we've read back there in Romans 13:10, love works no ill to his neighbor. One way a person can work ill to somebody else is with their tongue. What we say about other people. I've had to repent to people before. Amen. Where I said something about somebody and I got convicted about it. Sometimes it was after I had already left. I had to call them on the phone. I just did it recently.
Come on, Pastor.
I said, I need to repent to you. I talked about that person and put them in a bad light. I said, I mentioned to you some of the things they did years ago. And I said, I haven't talked to them for years. They might have gotten that all right with God.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They might have cleaned that all up. And I said, here I am putting them in a bad light in your thinking.
Yes.
And maybe they're all cleaned up with before God. Even if they're not right before God today, that's none of my business. I'm not their judge. And I'm working ill towards that brother, because it was a brother in Christ. I'm working ill towards that brother by talking to you about a wrong they did. And so now your mind, you ever heard the statement, my ear or my mind is not a garbage can? And I put that in your mind, and now every time you see them, you have to deal with those thoughts. And I just worked ill toward them, and I am wrong about it, and I repent. I ask you to forgive me. Somebody said, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you just said it. But number two, well, people say, I can't do that because people will think less of me. Actually, they'll think better of you. Real Christians will think better of you because they know how much of a challenge that is and how they've struggled in the past. We've all struggled. Well, you know I was wrong, but I can't humble myself like that. Well, we got to get things right to keep our faith working, to be honest with you.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Working ill towards our brother by our words. It's putting one way we do that, just put people in a bad light. And so, praise the Lord. Even if a man did wrong, even if that wrong is going to cause a downfall, my words, I'm not going to contribute to his downfall. Remember King Saul in the Old Testament, he was anointed to be king, he was God's chosen, but then he disobeyed and kept rebelling, and then God said, I'm going to look for another. And the anointing lifted off of Saul and came on David. And Saul, King Saul got jealous and started chasing David, trying to kill him, trying to destroy him. Amen. Somebody said, I want to be anointed. Well, be ready for whatever comes against you for the anointing. And then David had a chance. You remember in that cave one time, he had a chance to kill Saul. And he got convicted and said, I can't do it. He said, I can't kill who God had called and anointed. In other words, if he's going to fall, let him fall before God. I'm not going to contribute to his downfall. Our job is to pray. Oh God, be merciful. Lord, restore them. Amen. How many of you want mercy whenever you need mercy? The way you get mercy is you sow mercy.
Yes, indeed.
You sow mercy. You say, Lord God. Now, I've had people say, well, so-and-so wrong, and they need to be exposed. Well, let's read a couple of verses, see if that comes in line. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeks love. He that repeats a matter separateth very friends. In other words, real good friends. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Love seeks to protect people that have done wrong. Now, I don't mean that we're condoning wrong, but listen to me. Let's take ministers, for example. Ministers that are in the wrong, there needs to be somebody over them to address those things. Somebody that they have submitted themselves to. And a lot of times if they're not submitted to somebody, that's part of the problem. But if they're willing to submit to some other ministers and get that cleaned up, let those other ministers determine what needs to happen in that situation. Amen? Well, they need to be exposed. Let's turn that around on you and see if you still believe that.
That's right.
Anybody ever done anything embarrassing that you're not proud of today? I'll put up my hands. And I'll put up both feet if I could. There's things I've done in years past that I'm not proud of at all. But if my heart was right and I repented.
Thank you. That's it right there.
I'm not talking about last year.
Right.
You know, you know, I'm talking about stuff in the past.
Yes, sir.
But I got it right.
That's it.
And the people that needed to know about it knew about it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking about moral failure or something like that. Just some, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, you know, like you see in the Bible, you see God restoring. David failed morally. He failed morally. And God restored him.
Totally did.
He did.
And he still used him.
That's right.
You ever read the Bible?
Yes.
Amen. The Bible talks about, another man's servant. Who art thou to judge another man's servant?
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Before
right.
his own master he stands or falls.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
That's what your Bible said.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I remember years ago, Brother Hagin said, he cuts over there in Galatians, what is that? I'd have to look it up myself now. Just came to my spirit right now. I don't remember the reference. But it talks about, is anyone overtaken in a fault? Ye which are spiritual, expose them.
No,
6:1. 6:1, thank you. Galatians, is it?
Yes, sir.
Galatians 6:1. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one.
That's right.
In the spirit of meekness. Mm. The spirit of meekness means you don't go to him, well, I don't know why you yielded to that. I would never yield to that.
Oh,
well, going with that attitude, you'll probably be the next one to be tempted.
True story.
Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Yes.
Notice that spiritual people restore.
Yes. Yes.
They want to see restoration.
That's amen. Right.
I remember years ago, Brother Hagin told a story. He said he read that in the Bible, and he said, why don't we pray? He's talking about back there in his day, how they did some things. Why don't we do that? He's reading that verse. He said, God, I see here we're supposed to be interested in restoring people as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody doesn't want to repent, that's a different
that's
thing.
Different, yeah.
But restore such a one.
Yeah.
And he asked God, why don't we do that? God said to him, well, your answer's in that verse.
Mm-hmm.
He read it again. Anybody ever taken in fault? You which are spiritual, restore such a one. Spirit of meekness, consider that. He said, that's my question. The Bible says to restore such a one. Why don't we do that? Jesus said, your answer's in that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he read it again, but he couldn't see what Jesus was saying to him. And finally, he said, Lord, I'm not seeing what you're saying. He said, the Bible said, God said to him, the Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore. So if there were any spiritual among you, you would restore
this.
Good.
Thank
yes.
you. So good. So good.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity is not out trying to help people in their downfall. Let's take ministers, for example. If God called them and God anointed them, we need them.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And maybe some things happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe they fell. But that call doesn't leave them.
Right.
That anointing doesn't leave them. If we can restore them and get them back in a place where they're able to be used of God again, we need them in the body of Christ.
Yes.
If they'll submit themselves to good counsel
yes.
and be accountable.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely.
I know it's not popular in the body of Christ, but it is what the Word says.
Yeah,
it is.
That's right.
Tell your neighbor, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
rather than contribute to their downfall. Like I said, I've noticed seasoned ministers emphasize the love walk more than some younger ones do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have given heed to the task of what they say with their tongue, and I'm controlling that. And what they say about others in the body of Christ. Anytime I've been in the setting with some very seasoned. If I called their names today, you'd recognize them immediately. Been in the back room with some ministers at times, where there's other ministers there, and ministers are talking amongst themselves. And I've watched as maybe a younger, immature minister bring up somebody. And to begin to speak critically of another minister. And I turn my eyes towards these seasoned ministers because I want to see what their response is. They looked at that minister with fire in his eyes. See, the discipline that they put on themselves to guard their tongue, it came out looking at that minister like fire. In other words, he's basically saying, shut up. I know that's not a word people like to hear in church, but how many of you know zip it? Are y'all still there?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And I've watched that. And then I've watched everybody just sit there in silence and look at the man that was talking. He got so embarrassed, he just shut up.
Thank you.
Amen. Sometimes silence is golden.
All right now.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Amen. I've had the Lord deal with me about this. My goodness, what time is it? I lost track of time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
I want to live long. You ever read 1 Peter? Let's close with 1 Peter. I think we'll close with 1 Peter. We'll see. We'll see. I don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost if he wants to do something else. But look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And boy, there's a lot in here. But let's go to verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Remember, evil speaking was defined earlier. Railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that we are thereunto called, that we should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now that might be, you know, you might look at that and say speaking evil might be speaking something against the word, like speaking sickness or something, and that's certainly evil. But look at the context, verse number 9, the context is speaking evil of others. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil of others and his lips that they speak no guile. I want to love life and see good days. Yeah. To do that, I got to guard what I say about other people.
That's right.
Anybody with me on that? I want to see love, life, and good days. I want to love life and see good days. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, even if it's something that we need to think about a little more, we need to walk in the light of it. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I had a friend of mine, you know, we're kind of talking about all of us, but yet we've used some illustrations about ministers talking. I had a friend of mine said this to me. He said, let me go back and say this. The further we go as ministers or in our lives as members of the body of Christ, the further we walk into the blessings of God, the more we walk into the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God using us and so forth, the more serious these issues become, because mm-hmm. the devil's looking for a way in.
Yeah.
A minister friend of mine was telling me, before he went into the ministry, he was an electrician. And he said, most of our electrical, you know, in the buildings and so forth, most of our electrical systems are built out with copper wires. And he said, copper wires, as an electrician, he learned this, copper wires, they need to be pretty pure, not have defects in them, because if there's a little speck of a defect in a copper wire, you put lower currents through that and everything will be fine. But if you put too much current on that, yeah. copper wire with a defect, that wire will explode right there where that defect is.
Yeah.
That it can't handle that defect. Yeah. And that's the way spiritual things are.
Mm.
Amen. The more we're walking in the blessings of God and the further we go in the anointing and being used of God, the more serious it is to loose this tongue and use it against the brother.
Right.
No, God won't explode your life, but the devil, that's his opportunity. Amen. So we should pay attention to the task we have of guarding our tongue.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Say,
my tongue
is under my control. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When we can control our tongue. Bible didn't say we can't do it. It did say the tongue is the most unruly member.
Yep.
And it did say the tongue can no man tame.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
But he's talking about a natural man without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Right.
If you look up the word man, it's natural man. Without the help of the Holy Ghost, we're up the creek without a paddle in this.
Right.
But boy, there's someone on living on the inside of us that sometimes we get ready to say something. He'll put, whoa, don't say that, don't say that. And sometimes we've learned to not say that. Sometimes we just overrode it.
Yep. Yep.
Praise the Lord. Got that off my chest. Except there's a gnawing down there, a conviction down there. And we got to learn to pay attention to that.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we're going to grow up spiritually, we have to adapt the attitude, others may, but I may not. I'm going to walk in love even if nobody else does. Amen.
Amen.
Say that out loud. Others may,
but
I may not.
But I may not.
Praise God. I mean, in other words, let's say other people talk about others critically and get on Facebook and post things and expose people and do all that. They're going to stand before the Lord, not stand for me, but they're not my standard.
Nope. Right. There it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It's all the Word, right? Thank God for the Word. You know, we didn't even get to it. I wanted to get to today. There's things about forgiveness I wanted to get to today. There's also things about our faith works by love. Remember Galatians 5, 6? Faith works by love. In other words, the Mark 11, 23 and 24 verses that we love so much. You know, there's a verse after that. Verse 25. Mark 11, 24 and 20. It says, Mark 11, 22, whatever, you know, whosoever shall say this mountain, verse 23, whoever say this mountain be removed and cast in the sea, and then doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he saith. Well, we like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Then he said, you know, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. That's faith in prayer. The other one's faith in your words, releasing faith in your words. Verse 23 is faith in your words. Verse 24 is faith when you pray.
That's good.
Believe in God. And then it says, and.
Yeah.
When you stand praying. In other words, there's something else here.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus only pointed out, that doesn't mean there's only one, but Jesus only ever in his teachings pointed out one hindrance to faith, and it was in that verse, unforgiveness. Because he said, and when you stand praying, forgive.
Forgive.
Forgive. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In other words, this will hinder your prayer life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
So we want to be people of forgiveness.
Yeah.
People who zip it, right?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I see things. I've got to make some changes. Well, don't quit. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen. And here's one. Forgive yourself.
Yes.
There it is.
Praise God. And then just go to working on it.
Yep, that's right. That's
don't quit. Just go to working on it.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So we want our faith working, and faith works by making sure it has a, you know, it's faith works in the heart, and the heart has to be clean from all this offense and unforgiveness and, you know, talking critically and so forth and so on. Amen.
Amen.
How about we turn all that criticism on ourselves?
Yeah.
not that we're to be condemning ourselves, but we ought to be examining ourselves.
Yeah.
And say, well, brother, how are you doing yourself? Hold the mirror up and look in your own self.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, we turn that criticism on ourselves, we'll find plenty to go to work on.
Yeah.
We won't have time to talk about other people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 You know, the people you live the closest with are the ones you're most familiar with their weaknesses and their failures. Husbands and wives, they see each other's weaknesses and failures. You have to walk in this more in those closer relationships than you will see than anybody else. See, we come to church on Sunday morning and we see each other for a couple hours, and I mean, we think each other's got angel wings. You know, we almost got angel wings growing on our backs. But we don't see each other all week long.
Right. That's right.
We don't see each other whenever we get irritated in the flesh.
That's right.
None of us ever got irritated in the flesh. He's newly married. He's finding that out. Praise God. But how many of you know divine love makes the home sweet?
Yes.
You can't have a good home life and a good, you know, the peace of God in your home and the blessings of God in your home when there's always strife and unforgiveness and criticism and pointing out each other's faults and all of that. Well, praise God. I think we've reached about as much as we can handle today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Did I say everything you said in that email to say to her? Did I?
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your word. We choose to walk in the light of it. Thank you that you're being merciful to all of us. Father God, if we here today, some of us have things that we recognize as the word was going forth that we need to make adjustments in, we just take this opportunity to get it right before you. It's just a simple acknowledgement of it and say, Lord, I see it, I repent, I turn and go a different direction. Father, we make that adjustment now. We thank you for cleansing us of all unrighteousness as we ask for that this morning in Jesus' name. But Father, we don't hold our head down in shame. We thank you for the blood that cleanses us. We lift our head and we say by faith, Father, and with your help, we'll walk in the light of what we heard this morning. And we thank you, Father, our faith will work and we'll go from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.